We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Chapter 1. This is an often quoted verse that describes the antarkarana, or the internal causes, for Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world. And it's a very interesting word in this verse that we see that the Lord also has greed. When we approach transcendence, then there are do's and don'ts, there are good things and bad things. The bad things we have to eliminate, and the good things we have to assimilate. We have to assimilate good qualities, achar, sadachar, the behavior of a sadhu, and we have to eliminate the bad things. Elimination and assimilation. Elimination and acceptance makes progress. Vaishnava says that asat sangatyaga e vaishnavachar, that the achara, the Vaishnavachara, the behavior of Vaishnava is that he gives up association with that which is temporary. Asat. Asat sangha tyag. Tyag means he rejects. He leaves behind. He rejects that to accept new association. He leaves his Mayak friends to accept his Krishna friends. His friends colony. He leaves his old friends colony and he moves into new friends colony. I remember once when I was a child, there was a popular rock group and or a singing group, and they said, "Old friends like bookends." The name of the album is called "Bookends" by Simon and Paul or something. It was like poet type people. Old friends are like bookends; they're always there. But then these things that hold books up, bookends kind of things.
Right, right.
So these new friends are the Krishna friends, which will point us towards Krishna. And the old friends, they'll take us away from Krishna. So there, when we come in this line of transcendence, then we hear that kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya, these are bad things. These are impediments and obstacles, anarthas, or anart, as you say in Hindi, anart. They are unart. They are against our value. They are against our goodwill. They are against our against us. They are in opposition to us. They are our enemies. Lust, anger, greed, envy. Kam krodh lobh. Triviram narakashiram. Krishna says, Triviram narakashiram. He says, Dwaram na. He said, there's three gates leading to hell. Kam krodh lobh. Lust, anger, and greed. So this word is there, lobh. Or lobha. We know about greed. We want so many things. More, 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 more. More clothes, more money, more jewelry, more houses, more food, more everything. So this is, we consider that greed is a bad thing. But then when we hear about the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the descent of the Lord into this world, the very word that's used here in this verse, which is recorded here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 1, Verse 6, the very word is lobat, lobh. That because of greed, the Lord has come to this world because he's greedy. He also has greed. We are stuck in this world and rotating in the samsara, in the wheel of samsara chakra, because of greed, material greed. But then when we look at God, who is supposed to be above all the bad things, he's supposed to be the repository of goodness and purity, sweetness, love, beauty, and charm. This is how our Sridhar Maharaj used to say. He said, Krishna is the embodiment of sweetness, beauty, love, and charm. Therefore, he's Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. And why? Because of these things. He's charming, he's beautiful, he's sweet and beautiful. So the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's described here as being, he has greed, and he had not only one kind of greed, but three kinds of greed. Sometimes people are greedy for money, and they're greedy for position, and they're greedy for
fame.
That's similar, position of fame, I guess, similar. Or they have greed for money and greed for so many things. Unlimited types of greed. But here there's three categories of greed, so we'll hear about that, which is quite a peculiar thing. A very amazing thing. Chamatkara vichar. Chamatkara vichar. So what would we call that? Astounding consideration. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayeva Swadyo Yenadbhuta Madurima Kidrisho Va Madhya Sokyam Chasya Madanu Bhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobat Tadbhava Dya Samajani Shachigarva Sindo Harindu. Desiring, Loba means desire, but it really means intense desire, means greed. Greedy or desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, and greedy and desiring to understand the wonderful qualities in him that Radharani alone relishes through her love, and greedy to understand and experience the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Shachidevi as the moon appeared from the ocean. Hari Indu. Indu means a ray of moonlight. It's called an Indu. We have one Sakhi, one of the Ashtasakhis is called Induleka. She's like a line of the moon. She's very whitish. Her complexion is whitish gold. Golden, but like the moon. Golden moon. So, Shachi Garba Sindo Hariindu. 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 Samajani. He took birth. So, with her bhav, Tadbhava Adya. Beginning with her richly endowed Adya Bhava. With Radha Bhav. So, Krishna took Radha Bhav. So, this verse is explaining how this verse is expressing the different types of greed that the Lord had. And these are the internal reasons. There's the bahir karana and antar karana, the external causes or external reasons. Externally, why did Krishna come? Why does any avatar come or descend to this world? And that's explained in Gita. And that's very common, famous verses. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Bhitanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. And sadhu says, the next verse is about the sadhus. To parichranaya saranam vinashaya chudiskrisham dharmasam starpanataya sambhavami juge juge. Yuga after yuga, time after time, millennium after millennium, the Supreme Lord comes, dasavatar, as Nisringa, Matsya, Buddha, Ram, or Bud, Ram. All those different avatars, he descends into this world, Parasaram, and he comes to protect the devotees and to annihilate the miscreants and to reestablish the principles of religion. Dharmasya glani. Glani means break, severing or breaking. The dharma becomes yada yada hi dharmasya. Dharmasya glani. So dharmasya glani. When dharma becomes upset or upturned or neglected or destroyed or diluted to an abominable state, then the Lord comes to put it back on track. So that's external reason. For example, sometimes we go on vacation or we say, oh, are you on? You're going for work? Say, this is work come vacation. So I have to go to Las Vegas because I'm installing some restaurant equipment there in a new restaurant. But as long as I'm there, the company's paying for my stay there for 3 days, and my work is only half a day. So the other 2 days I'll play. So there's work come play. So this is an external reason I'm going for business. Internal reason is, that's none of your business. They won't tell you what they do over there. Certainly they won't tell their wife. So the Lord himself, he has his agenda, his state work and his private work. So his state work is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. And his private work is stated here on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because this is the graduate study of theology, where we find out about the heart of the Lord, the mind of the Lord, and the external activities of the Lord, what makes him move, that Bhagavad Gita will tell us. But what the feelings of the Lord are, what makes him feel and how does he feel, that's revealed in Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in 10th canto Bhagavatam. So here it's told that Krishna is mystified by the magic of Radharani's love. Her love is too much attractive. It's to the state where he becomes totally amazed. And he wants to understand it, but he can't understand it. Really, you can't understand a person's heart unless you're that person. And sometimes they say in psychology, when they're trying to help people understand each other, they say, you should put yourself in the other person's shoes. They have this phrase in English.
Yeah.
Put yourself in the other person's shoes. In other words, try to understand how are they thinking, or how are they feeling, not only calculating things from your viewpoint, but how does my wife feel about this situation, and what would she respond to this, and would she like this or not like this? It's like this. This is a thoughtful person, a broad-hearted person will try to accommodate many people and many viewpoints within his heart to peacefully progress in the world with others, world of relations. So this is approximately, you can do that, but you can't. The best way to do it is if you became the other person. You became one with their heart and mind. You enter deeply, if you actually could enter into their heart and into their mind. And that can only be done as if you became them. So that's what Krishna was forced to do. Because after Krishna Leela was finished, then, of course, these Leelas are eternal, but it's described like that. He left, he was unfulfilled. He felt some greed in his heart. He was, although there was rasa dance and so many pastimes, he felt some greed that something's missing. That what is this Sri Radhaya, Radha Pranaya Mahima? This is Kidrisha. Kidrisha means, what kind? What is this pranaya, this love? Pranaya means a type of love. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. These are different hierarchy of prema, different expressions, different intensities, different feelings and aspects of the love, loving relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And Radharani, what is the mahima? What are the glories? What are the greatness? It's so great. Her pranaya, her love is so great. And it's in so many different varieties. It says, Kidrisha, what is this? So it's explained here that Krishna's thinking, what is Radharani's love? What is her love and how can I understand it? You know, I have a greed. I have a greed. This is also a type of greed for knowledge. Like people read every single book that comes out and they're bookworms and they're just so greedy. They have greed for knowledge. That's also a type of greed. And of course that gives them prestige also and gives them position and also authority and so many things. So Krishna, this is one of his greed, is what is Radharani's love? This mahima, what is the greatness, the glory of Radharani's love? Then that's the first greed that Krishna had. He was feeling unfulfilled and he wanted to understand it. And the second one is listed here, Adbhuta Madhurima. Swadyo yen adbhuta madhurima. Adbhuta means astounding or amazing or wonderful. And then madhurima means madhuri, sweetness. Madhur. When Rupa Goswami is distinguishing Krishna from Ram or Narayan, he explains that Narayan and Krishna and all the other forms of Godhead, the Bhagavan Tattva or the Vishnu Tattva, they have 60 qualities, an unlimited quantity of those qualities, and they list those qualities. But then there are four more qualities that only Krishna has. And you could say the other ones may have them, but they're hidden, not revealed. So the full expression of Godhead, it's called Purnatam or Purna Bhagavan, complete Bhagavan, or Swayam Bhagavan is Krishna. So he has these four qualities which distinguish him and make him the supreme. Because if he's more than Ram and more than Narayan and Vishnu and Nisringa, then what is he? Why is he more? Because he's one in Tattva, but he's something different in Ras, and he's something different in these categories also, in these gunas. Different. He's different in Ras and different in Gun. So these four lakshanas, these vishesh gun, he has. One is Rupa Madhuri, such an astoundingly attractive form. Rama is very attractive, no doubt, but not as attractive. And Vishnu is very attractive, but not as attractive as Krishna. Even Lakshmi leaves Narayan to try to attain Krishna. So Krishna is Rupa Madhuri. And then his Vena Madhuri, his sweetness of his flute, it attracts all the living entities. But all Rama is only playing a bowstring. And he's not playing bass fiddle, but he's playing a sharanga or danu. Danu or sharanga means bow. He's twanging, twang. Yeah. So it's not a guitar. It's not a guitar or a sitar. Guitar or a sitar or a tambura. It's an instrument of destruction. Not an instrument of construction. Because music is constructive. It builds themes and ragas and raganis and creates emotions and feelings. It's creative. And it's pleasurable. But to feel the sting of an arrow in your back or in your heart is not very pleasurable. So there's no Vena Madhuri with Ram. And then the next thing is this Prema Madhuri, the sweetness of Krishna's love. He loves everyone. He takes on all comers. Anyone who comes to him, they get Prema. Or they get liberated. He doesn't leave anyone lying in the street or doesn't leave noses on the ground or ears on the ground. But if you come to Ram and your name is Shapurnaka and your brother's name is Ravana or Ravan and you propose to Ram, you end up losing your ears. You know, it's one thing falling heads and heels in love with somebody. They have a phrase like that. He fell in love heads and heels, you know, head over heels. Yeah, head over heels. And that's okay. It's a figurative expression. But Shupurnaka, she fell in love with Ram and she lost her ears. She got her ears cut off by Lakshman and her nose. Of course, she was trying to eat Sita also. You have to mention that. But nevertheless, when anyone approached, now, what about, now, of course, Ram, he couldn't really satisfy her because he was limited by his brut. His love is limited, so his love cannot be Prema Madhuri. It's not very sweet love, it's rather... was rather bitter. There's no sweetness for Shapurnaka. A rather bitter experience when she interacted with Ram. But Ram nevertheless said, listen, I'll bless you. When I come as Krishna, then I can give you sweetness. So then Shapurnaka came again and appeared in Mathura as Kubja. Kubja was a sandalwood, sandalwood person. She was preparing a sandalwood paste for Kamsa. And she was hunchbacked. And Krishna went there and straightened her out and then satisfied her. And so shared his love with her and gave her the sweetness of his love. So Krishna, he interacts with everyone, experiences the sweetness of Krishna's love. So he's specialized by his Prema Madhuri. And then finally is Leela Madhuri. The fourth thing is, his fourth special quality, Vishesh Gun, is the sweetness of his pastimes. There is no Julan Leela for Ram. There is no Ras Leela for Ram. There is no Holy Leela for Ram. There's no, none of these kind of sweet pastimes are there with Ram. Jalkeli, and very official. It's all he's a royalty. He's royalty, he's not a coward boy. He's not running behind cows. He's riding in golden chariots. And he's not wearing a Pitambara dhoti and a peacock feather. He's wearing royal epaulets and costly gold and fancy silk clothes. And he's like quite buttoned up tight. He's not loose. So Krishna's Leela is too much attractive and sweet. Ram's Leela is, he's a man of justice. He's a man of justice and law and order. So this is Krishna. Nevertheless, so he wanted to know what is, so this second thing is Swadhyo Yenad Bhuta Madhurima. He wanted to know, understand the wonderful sweet qualities in him that Radharani relishes, that she tastes. And that's also mentioned in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Adi Leela, chapter 4, there's a nice reference, verse 139. This book is really quite wonderful Chaitanya Charitamrita. This further elaboration on this same verse. Where Krishna is saying, he's speaking here, further elaboration. That was in the beginning of the chapter, and then later the verses are more elaborated. Vishay jatiya sukha amara aswad amahaite koti gun ashrayara alad. Like pralad, alad. Krishna is saying, I taste the bliss to which the object of love is entitled, but the pleasure of Radha, the abode of that love, is 10 million times greater. So Krishna is saying, I'm the enjoyer, and Radha is the enjoyed. I'm the Vishay, the subject, and Radharani is the object. She's the Ashray. I'm Prem Vishay, and she's Prem Ashray. So she is trying to do everything to please me and satisfy me, and not considering anything for herself. But I am observing that the pleasure that she's deriving by the Alad, or the by just dedicating herself to me absolutely and unequivocally, she's actually deriving 10 million times greater pleasure. So what Krishna is saying here is that the servant of the Lord, that the one who's serving the Lord, he's getting 10 million times more pleasure than the recipient of the service. Well, this is quite astounding. If you ask the slaves in South America during the slave, when they're rowing the boat, are you getting 10 million times more pleasure than the captain who's whipping you with his whip in the Greek days, as guys would, slaves would be under the hold of the boat, rowing the boat or something? Oh yes, I feel like I'm getting 10 million times. No, the Krishna is saying this. And then he says, Ashraya jatiya sukha payate manadhai jatne ashwadite nari kikari upai. He's saying, Krishna is saying, my mind races to taste the pleasure experienced by the ashray, the abode of love. But I cannot taste it, even by my best efforts. How may I taste it? You know, it's like I see that you're eating some ice cream. So Krishna's telling that my mind, I see that Radharani, I see you eating all this ice cream, and you're saying, And I'm thinking, my mind is thinking, oh, it seems like you're having a good time. You're enjoying that ice cream. So my mind has become attracted, and my mind is racing. Oh, how are you experiencing that ice cream? But how can I taste it? I can't taste it. My mind is thinking and understanding and appreciating what experience you're having from tasting that ice cream. And I'm also very interested. But how can I taste it? Unless I become you and eat that ice cream, how can I taste it? Kabu jadi je premara haye ashray tabe e premanander anubhavahai. If I sometime, kabu means you say kabi, and kabi, so they say kabu. If I can be the abode of that love, only then I may taste it. So this is what this verse is saying, these three reasons why Krishna came. Eta chinti rahe Krishna parama kotuki, ridaye bhadaya prema loba daka dhaki. Duck, ducky. That sounds pretty ducky. Dukkha means davanala. It comes from this davana, means blazing. Thinking in this way, eta chinti, Krishna was curious to taste Radha's love. His eager desire. Kotuki. Parama kotuki. Kotuki, supremely curious. Prema lobe. His eager desire for that love increasingly blazed in his heart. Prema lobe dhaka dhaki. Duck dhaki. Dhak dhaki. That's the word. Dhak dha. Duck dhak dhaki. Interesting. So that's blazing. So this is lobe. His heart was full of greed for Radharani to understand. What is the Radha Pranaya Mahima, I'm greedy, Krishna's greedy to understand the glory of Radharani's love, and then he's greedy to relish the Madhurima, the Adbhuta Madhurima. That is one desire. Now hear of another. And this is what I was speaking about. Eka Shuna Ara Lobera Prakar Samadhurya Deki Krishna Karena Vichara. Now, here another desire, which is this one I'm discussing, Adbhuta Madhurima, the Krishna's own sweetness. Seeing his own beauty, Krishna began to consider. And there's the pastime. And it's explained that this is once when Krishna was in Dwarka. In Dwarka, there's many very, there are beautiful little, inside the middle of the room, there's little pools, a little like waterfall or some little waterfall, water collected in a little pool in the middle of the room, cooling the room in the ancient palaces. And one day Krishna was sitting there, and there were some lotuses in that pool, and then there was a skylight above it, so light would come in, and you know, very beautiful, fancy designs. Vishvakarma, the architect of the demigods, designed the place, so he knows what he's doing. It's all according to Vastu, and you know, worked out on the computer ahead of time. So Krishna's sitting there by this pool, and he's admiring the beauty of the lotus, of course, that she created. And then he looked into the water, and in the reflection of the water, he saw this beautiful blue person, an extraordinary blue complexion and lotus eyes, and eyes rivaling the lotus flower growing in that pool, and beautiful pearly white teeth. And he said, "Oh, who is this? So who is this person? I'm very attracted to this person. I would like to meet this person. Who is this person?" And then Rukmini came and saw Krishna was looking at it and himself, and even talking. He was so enamored and so bewitched that he started talking to this person in the water, and she was curiously watching. And she said, Oh, my Pranavallabha, oh, Dwarkadish, who are you speaking to? And he came out of his reverie and said, I saw this beautiful man in the water, and I was so attracted. So Krishna is even attracted to, he's all attractive, even he attracts himself. He's not a narcissist either. There's something called narcissism, isn't it? Where someone is like absorbed in their own beauty. They just look in the mirror all day long.
Right.
It's called narcissist. Okay. I haven't said the word in probably 20 years. But it's not. You can't accuse Krishna of being this either, because the nature of Krishna's beauty, because he's transcendental, it actually is changing every minute. And becoming, he's always newer and newer. It's called Navayovanam. At every second, at every minute, his beauty increases and becomes more attractive and more sweet and more charming and more beautiful. So maybe he looked in the mirror before he went out walking around the palace, and he combed his hair, and he said, "Oh, there I am. I'm pretty. I'm beautiful." Then he left. So he wasn't much paying attention. Then when he looked in the water, that's a few minutes had gone by. Now he has a new feature. And the water became a mirror, but then he didn't realize it was him. Because he didn't recognize, "Who is this? I don't recognize you." So this is, now that leads us to this next verse. Adbhuta ananta purna mora madhurima tri jagate ihar keya nahi paya simha. Krishna is telling, "My sweetness is wonderful, infinite and full. No one in the three worlds can find its limit. E prema dware nitya radhika ekali amara madhuri yamrita ashwade sakali. Only Radhika, by the strength of her love, tastes all the nectar of my sweetness." So this is the second reason, or second form of spiritual greed, that Krishna became greedy to understand what is this, understand the wonderful, sweet qualities in him that Radharani is tasting. So he was thinking, as it's mentioned here, "What is my beauty?" And then it's explained another place in this Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna, his beauty excels crores of cupids. He's described in Sanskrit as Navina Madan. Navina Madan means Navina, and same as, it's interesting how so many words in Sanskrit are very much like English, because it's the mother of all languages, Indo-European language, they say. So Navina means new. Navina nirada rupa manohara vibhavari shesha. In the morning they have this Mangalarti song they sing in Vrindavan temple. Navina nirada rupa manohara. Navina nirada. He is like a new cloud. And his form is Navina nirada rupa manohara. Krishna's form is like a new rain cloud. Navina means new and nirada means rain cloud. And it's rupa manohara. That form steals the mind. Manohar. It takes away the mind from anything else. Navina nirada rupa manohara. That song in the morning is very beautiful. Navina Madan, he's a transcendental Cupid. So seeing Krishna's beauty is always new and fresh. So he's thinking, as is mentioned here, how can he see his own beauty? The only way you can see your own beauty is how?
Look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. Exactly. But when you look in the mirror in the Darpan, you're seeing Pratibimba. You're seeing Saundarya Pratibimba. Pratibimba means reflection. You're seeing a reflection of your Saundarya or your Sundari. We say Sundari. Gopis are called Sundari. They're very beautiful. Braj, they say Braj Sundari. Right? Braj Sundari. The beautiful girls of Braj Sundari. Sometimes they just call it Gopi Sundari, Braj Sundari. Beautiful. They're so beautiful. But when we see that, we see our beauty in the mirror, we're only seeing a reflection. So what they explained here, that the only way to see, for Krishna, the only way for him to see his beauty is he has to have the heart of Radharani. Because the beauty of Krishna is really seen in the Prema Darpan. And the Prema Darpan is the heart of Radharani. Because we have a phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. We say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but actually phrase is not correct. Beauty is in the heart of the beholder. Because the man, because his heart is so much enmeshed or entwined with his wife, generally, he thinks his wife is very beautiful. And because in his heart, he has the heart of Prem Darpan. He has love for her in the heart. So when he sees, oh, she's very beautiful. But other men, more objective viewpoint, they may look and say, oh, she's not beautiful. She's not pretty. No, no, she's the most beautiful girl. So this is Radharani's, her heart. Her heart is full of prema. This ujjvala prema, this purest kevala prema for Krishna is in her heart. So she sees Krishna, she appreciates and sees Krishna's beauty like no one else can. Like no one else. So only Krishna's beauty, as wrote here, the mirror of pure love. The mirror of pure love is the mirror in which Krishna can see his own form. So Krishna can see himself in the mirror of pure love. So that's why it's told, we say, Lord Chaitanya taught us, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam, Bhava Mahana Vagnir Nivapanam, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam, that when the Chit Darpan, the mirror of the heart, Chit means heart or consciousness, when that becomes cleansed, Marjan, it becomes cleansed by chanting and serving and surrendering to Krishna, serving Krishna and chanting his name and surrendering to him. Then when that chit becomes pure, the mirror of our heart becomes pure. Pure means it becomes full of love, becomes full of prema. And when our heart is full of prema, then we can see Krishna. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. So this is, I suppose that's from Brahma Samhita. Right, that's one shloka. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Santak Sadaiva Ridyesha Viloka Yanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Gunasurupam Govinda Maripurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Lochan, he's saying Premanjana Lochan. The Lochan means the eye. And when it has Anjan, Anjan means like ointment. The ointment at the Anjan of Prem, then you can see Krishna. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Santak Sadaiva Ridyesha. Then you can see Krishna in the heart. Santak Sadaiva Ridya. So in the heart, when the heart is full of prema, then in that mirror of the heart, that Chaito Darpan, Chit Darpan, in the mirror of the heart, which is full of prema, Krishna can see himself there, and we can see ourselves, our soul, and we can see Krishna. So that is Radharani's heart, is that prema Darpan. So Krishna wants, he has to, it says, that's one another verse here, it says, verse 140 in chapter 4. Yadyapi nirmala radara sat prema darpan tatapi swachata tara bade shane shan. Although Radha's love is pure like a mirror, its purity increases at every moment. Sat prema darpan nirmal swachata. So this is very nice. This is the second reason why Krishna took the form of Radharani. These are the internal reasons why Krishna came as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Why did Gauranga Mahaprabhu descend to this world? So these are the internal reasons. It's all about love. It's all about greed. greed for love. And so Lord Chaitanya is, he's a very greedy person. Krishna comes and greedy for Radharani's love. So this is the heart of the pure devotee or premi bhakta is a mirror in which Krishna sees his own form. And the best mirror is the heart of Srimati Radharani. So we are aspiring, we are trying to become servants of Radharani, Radhadasyam. Das, 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 anudas. Gopi Bhartu, Parakamalyo, das, das, anudas. Das, 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 anudas. So that really means we're saying das, but actually it should be feminine gender, dasi. Because Gopi Bhartu, Bhartu means the Lord or Master of the Gopis. It's the das, so the servant of the Master of the Gopis. So the Master of the Gopis is Gopinath, and the servant of Gopinath is Radharani. And the servant of Radharani is Lalita, and the servant of Lalita is Rupa Manjari. And the servant of Rupa Manjari is Rati Manjari. And the servant of Rati Manjari is Guru Parampara, Evam Parampara Praptam, Guru Sakhi Parampara. So our Guru Maharaj, he's a Sakhi Manjari. And then our Param Guru is this Nayanamani Manjari, Bhakti Santa Saraswati. Then our Paratara Guru is Guna Manjari, Gorakishwardas Babaji. And then his Shiksha Guru or Manjari is Kamala Manjari, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And then it goes like this. So this really is Gopi Bhartu Padakamalyar, Dasi, Dasi, Anudasi. Become a maidservant, the maidservant, the maidservant, the maidservant, or sometimes they say handmaiden. You'll see this, the servants of the queen are called handmaidens. They wait on the queen with hand and foot. So sometimes it says maidservant or handmaiden. In technical terms, there are five types of sakis. And one is called they're called pran sakhi or nitya sakhi, and they're also called manjari. There's a fool, there's a flower, and then there's a manjari. Before it opens up to a flower, it's flower bud.
Yeah.
And that flower bud is a manjari. So they're a little bit less, almost about to be a flower, but not quite a flower. They're supportive, or they're next stage down. So this is our goal is the service of Radharani. Because we can't, who can serve Krishna? No one can serve Krishna but Radharani. She's the best servant. So if we want to please Krishna, then we should please the devotees of Krishna. So Radharani is the greatest devotee. So we try to please her. So what's the third reason? The third reason is that Krishna, he had a desire, he was greedy to understand the happiness, the sokyam, the happiness and the pleasure that Radharani feels by relishing my beauty. How can I know it? We're discussing the three internal reasons why Krishna appeared, this antarkarana, the internal reasons why Krishna came as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And the verse we are discussing is first chapter, sixth verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then it says, Sri Radha Pranaya Mahima. That Krishna, he actually became greedy. Like we're saying, greed is a bad thing. Or greedy for money, or greedy for fame, or greedy to eat, or any kind of greed, kam, krodh, lobh. These are impediments, and they keep us in the material world. So we find, when we see Krishna himself, even he's operating out of greed. It's lobha. He becomes greedy, and he wants to know, there's three reasons. He has three types of greed. One is that he wants to understand the glories of Radharani's love. What is her love? How can I understand it? And the other thing, other greed he has is he wants to understand the wonderful his own sweetness, that somehow Radharani is relishing my sweetness, adbhuta madhurima. Adbhuta madhurima. That it's amazing, my sweetness is astonishing and she's tasting it. And I want to understand, What is my beauty? How is she tasting it? And the third thing is, which we're discussing now, is Sokyam Anubhav. He wants to understand the happiness that Radharani feels when she's relishing Krishna's beauty. Like someone may see something beautiful, a beautiful person, and when they see that beautiful object, and they creates a feeling in their heart, oh, that person's so beautiful, I feel so attracted, I feel so happy. And then so Krishna's thinking, well, what is that happiness, that sokyam? What is that happiness that she feels when she's tasting my beauty. So this is the third desire. So these three desires, these are the three desires that Krishna had to fulfill. So to fulfill those desires, he took the form of Lord Chaitanya and he absorbed himself in Radha Bhav, the Bhav, the mellow, the mood of Radharani. So this third desire, he wants to understand what is the happiness and pleasure that Radharani feels by relishing my beauty. How can I know it? So this is most significant verse. This verse is actually spoken by Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Sakhi in Krishna Leela. So she, Lalita, is describing Krishna's greed. And then this is further related in Anti Leela, or rather Adi Leela, chapter 4, in these verses from 120 to 150. So now he's talking about the sweetness. Krishna is talking about his sweetness. This is all the second reason, this repeating. It's very nice verses. Amara madhurya nahi badite avakash e darpanera age nava nava rupe base. My sweetness has no room for expansion, yet it shines before the mirror of Radharani's love and newer and newer beauty. It's called Prem Darpan, the mirror of her Prem. Her heart is so much full of love for Krishna that his beauty is all reflected in her heart. Man madhurya radhara prem donhai hodakari shane shane bhare done keha nahi hari. There is constant competition between my sweetness and the mirror of Radha's love. They both go on increasing, but neither knows defeat. Amara madhurya nitya nava nava hai swa swa prema anurupa bhakti ashwadhai. My sweetness is always newer and newer. Devotees taste it according to their own respective love. So this is a fact. This sweetness of Krishna is Lila Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, and Venu Madhurya. As we increase our attachment to Krishna, and we increase our affection or love, you can say puppy love or primordial love or whatever you want to call it, we experience some sweetness. Our mind, we get a few drops of sweetness. It's called experiential religion. This is religion of experience. It's not religion of dogma or religion of rhetoric. It's a religion of experience. Sometimes they have books like that in philosophy when I was in college, religious experiences. And Krishna himself guarantees that. He says that in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartamaviyam rajavidya rajaguyam pavitram paramambhavan. He's explaining in 9th chapter Gita, first verse, Rajavidya Rajaguyam. He says, Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam. This Dharma is Pratyaksha. Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam. Religion of experience. So as Krishna himself is saying that my sweetness is newer and newer, devotees, he's saying devotees, Anurupa Bhakta Ashwadai. According to one's own love, Swa Prem Anurup Bhakte Ashwadai. So love is something that grows. And as we hear in the description of prema in the spiritual world, there's no limit. There's no end of the love. Here, our material love, so-called loves and relationships, they become dry or staid or stagnant or hackneyed after a very short time. And they don't usually reveal themselves in newer and newer features. It becomes the same old, deja vu. In French, they say deja vu. I've seen it all again, and I'm seeing it again and again. We had that experience ourselves that after being married for a few years, then we felt that this is so dry, so mechanical, and so it just didn't really satisfy very much. So Krishna's telling that devotees will taste it. Then now Krishna's saying, Darpan adye deki jari apan madhuri ashwadite haya lob ashwadite nari. Okay. He's saying, if I see my sweetness in a mirror, I am tempted to taste it, but nevertheless I cannot. So we were discussing that before you were here. That someone might say, well, Krishna's saying, Adbhuta Madhurima, that my sweetness is amazing and my beauty is so attractive. But if I look in a mirror, I only see Pratibimba. I see a reflection of my beauty. I don't really see my beauty. I can't see my beauty. Beauty's in the eyes of the beholder. So in the eyes of someone else, they're seeing my beauty. They're actually relishing my beauty as it is. And if that person's eyes are backed by a heart full of love, so that's prema darpan. So we say the Radharani's heart, or the heart of the premi bhakta, the heart of the premi bhakta is a proper mirror to see the beauty of Krishna. So in the heart of Radharani, she relishes and sees the beauty of Krishna fully. So for Krishna to actually see his own beauty, he has to attain the heart of Radharani. To attain the heart of Radharani, he must become Radharani. So therefore he becomes Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. So Lord Chaitanya is none other than Radha Krishna. So Krishna is telling this, I see my sweetness in the mirror, and oh, it looks so sweet, I want to taste it, but it's only a reflection. If you hold some ice cream, and then you see the reflection in the mirror, oh, that looks good. And then you go to the mirror, and you lick the mirror, nothing will happen. You'll just get some dust on your tongue from the dusty mirror. You're not going to get the sweet taste of raspberry pecan or whatever, whatever mix-up they have over there. You're not going to get that luscious taste. So he's saying, I'm tempted, but nevertheless I cannot. Vichar, vichar kariye jari ashwat upai. Radhika surup haite tabe mana dai. If I deliberate on a way to taste it, I find that I hanker for the position of Radhika. So this is the internal churning of Krishna's heart after he left this world 5,000 years ago at the end of Dwapara Yuga. Then he returned to Golok and he's thinking, oh, but I'm greedy. I have this greed. The Radharani's, her sweetness, her love is so astounding. The greatness of her pranaya, Radha Pranaya Mahima. And then the sweetness in me, how she tastes that sweetness. And then what happiness is she tasting? And then what happiness she is experiencing? What is that ice cream? And then what happiness does someone experience by tasting it? So what is my beauty? And what is it, the adbhuta madhurima of my beauty, the astounding sweetness? And then what sukha or happiness she feels by tasting it? I hanker for that. So the only way I can satisfy my greed or fulfill my greed is to become Radha. To take Radha's bhav and her kanti and her bhav, her color and her form and her heart, and come down to this world and experience what it means to be a devotee, to be the ashraya of prem, the shelter of prem. So Prabhupada says, beautiful purport. You can see, imagine how much Prabhupada is relishing, because he's one of these premi bhaktas whose mirror of his heart is reflecting the form of Krishna at every moment. So he's writing this purport, a beautiful purport. Krishna's attractiveness is wonderful and unlimited. So it's one thing to write words to describe something, but it's another thing to realize those words. He's dictating, Krishna's attractiveness is wonderful and unlimited. It's like if you ask some husband, please describe your wife. Someone else can also describe the wife. Oh, she's like this or that. But when the husband describes, it's something different because of the intimacy, because of the connection, because of the relationship, because of the surrender, because of the tight connection of love. Srimati Radharani alone can relish such extensiveness from her position in the ashraya category. That means the shelter of love. The mirror of Srimati Radharani's transcendental love is perfectly clear. Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. Yet it appears clearer and clearest in the transcendental method of understanding Krishna. In the mirror of Radharani's heart, the transcendental features of Krishna appear increasingly new and fresh. In other words, the attraction of Krishna increases in proportion to the understanding of Srimati Radharani. Each tries to supersede the other. Neither wants to be defeated in increasing the intensity of love. Desiring to understand Radharani's attitude of increasing love, Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this is all going on about this second reason. There's so many verses that go on just to describe the second reason. I've already described the third reason. Then after that, he describes this. There's just a beautiful description in Adi Lila chapter 4 about love, what is actual love. And it counters that with the calm. There's calm and prem. Calm is like iron, and Krishna prem is like gold. So this discussion is given here. One can read Adi Lila chapter 4 and over again, because he'll find out about what is the nature of love, Radharani's love, because this is a perfectional form of spiritual love. We say divine love or love divine. Love divine takes a form, takes a shape as Srimati Radharani. And then it has expression, not only form but expression. Love is one thing, but it must be, but it's measured by its expression, not by its container, but how it's, love may take shape in a container, but then how does it express itself? You may have some form of some machine, some mixie, but then it expresses itself. Oh, it does this and it does that, and it cuts and it chops and it blends and it mixes. It does. It's the kitchen. It's a magic kitchen or whatever they call the thing. The genie in the kitchen. So it expresses itself. So love has a form, Radharani, and then the expression of that love is detailed and delineated in Adi Lila chapter 4. So it's a great nourishment for the heart. So, is there some questions? Any questions?
It's a bit confusing when you see that Krishna wants to taste Radharani's love for him from Radharani's point of view, and to taste his own sweetness in himself that Radharani relishes. So he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is half Radharani and half himself also.
Yeah. Well, he's Krishna. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna in Radha Bhav. He's in the Bhav of Radharani, trying to, and because you see that, especially when he takes sannyas, after he takes, and when he's in, I mean that split personality or whatever you want to say, those dual identities, when Gauranga Mahaprabhu is in Mayapur, before he takes sannyas, the first 24 years of his life, he's in the Ishvara Bhav. He's in the Bhav of being Ishvara, of Krishna, Bhagavan. And he's the arrogant scholar and the boy genius and defeating Kashmiri Pandit at the age of 8. And he had his Sanskrit school and his toll on the bank of the Ganga, and he would push everybody in the water and challenge everyone and defeat them in philosophy. And then after he took sannyas, then he entered this whole mood of Radha Bhav. Separation. And where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Kahan, Krishna Kahan, Krishna 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 Krishna, hey. So this is always, so then that's fully in Radha Bhav. So these two personalities were expressed, but the main purpose of his coming was to experience the Radha Bhav aspect, not the Krishna aspect. So his color is Krishna's Radharani's Kanti. So he has a form, male form, Krishna's male form, but he has the kanti, he has the color of Radharani, Taptakanti, Gaurangi, Gauranga. And then he has the heart, he has the body of Radharani, the color of Radharani, and the bhava of Radharani, the heart of Radharani. And he's trying to relish. Now that he is, so he's, it's almost like possessed, you know, some ghost possesses you, and he lives through your body and experiences through your body. And eats through your body. Sometimes people are ghostly haunted and they eat like anything. Because that ghost in his last life, somehow he didn't get enough to eat. So then he comes in your body and he pushes you to eat. So you eat and you eat and you eat and you eat. And you can't even understand why you're eating, because the ghost is pushing you and enjoying through your body as while he possesses you. All kinds of crazy, phenomenal things that go on in a subtle reality when these things are factual. So it's something like that, but not exactly like that. That Krishna is there as a witness, or he's directly experiencing. He's become like Radharani in one sense. And Radharani is only his expansion anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's Krishna tasting himself, as you said. But he wants to know what that is. And that's what we read this verse. It said that the Ashraya, the enjoyed, Radharani is the enjoyed, and Krishna is the enjoyer. And Krishna's noticing, which we heard when he's revealing his mind here in the pages here, he's saying, I see that the Premashraya, the abode of Prem, or the shelter of Prem, she's by serving me and offering herself completely for my pleasure without any concern for her own happiness for 1 second, I see that she's actually relishing a happiness millions of times more than I am. This is described here. Krishna's in his own words. He's saying it's very clear that by being my servant, by being a devote Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi, Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi, she's relishing a million times more happiness than I am by enjoying her and by taking all the service from her. And this, it's almost like, you know, the closest thing we have to it in this world is the happiness at traditional, let's say, quote unquote, the happiness a traditional Indian housewife feels by cooking and serving her guests. She cooks so much food all the afternoon, all morning, all night, the night before, the early morning, all day, and they come, and then she serves them out, and they eat everything. It's so good. They eat everything, and then they leave, and there's nothing, and she's too tired to cook, and she's too satisfied, and she's like grinning from ear to ear because everyone was happy, and she's actually relishing more happiness than anybody, and she didn't eat a drop of food. Quote-unquote, the traditional Indian housewife who had so much prema for serving this vatsalya, this affection. So that happiness, and we, although we're not Indian housewives, we've experienced that in Krishna consciousness, that of serving the Sunday feast and actually serving, we understand that actually there's much more happiness in serving than there is in enjoying. And it's, I mean, it's tangible, it's direct. No one has to tell me about it. Or do you feel good? Or did you eat enough? Are you happy? You know when you ate enough food. I ate enough. You know, no one has to interview you. So you know that it's a Sunday feast and you're serving the devotees and you're going person to person serving them. And you remember, last week he came, this person, he comes every Sunday, he likes this, and you give him more of that. And you especially serve what they like. And you bring the bucket to them. Like they're just sitting there, they're not even asking for anything. But you know this guy likes the cheese out of the cheese sabji, and he doesn't like the sabji. So you come right up to him, and you take the spoon. You take a spoonful of cheese, and you hold it in front of him and say, sabji? And he looks at you, and he looks at you. He's a kaya, karmi, he's coming, congregation. And he looks at you, and then you look at him in the eyes, and he realizes, this guy knows me. And then and he just says, yeah. You know me better than myself. And he just put the cheese on his plate. And he didn't ask for it. You took the bucket and you walked, 50 feet down the aisle and stopped in front of him. First you served him, and then you give everybody else. And he said, well, how did you know I wanted more cheese? Because you're operating on the principle of love, spiritual love for the soul. Because body love means is business. Body love means business. Body love means business, and I have to get a return. I invested $5, I have to get 10 back. This is business. You don't invest $5 and get $2 back. You're out of business. But love business means I'll invest something, but I have to draw a profit. I draw a profit from you. That's called love business. Or marriage, or whatever you want to call it. But this is not business. This is Prem Dham Vrindavan. Sri Dham Vrindavan. Prem Dham Vrindavan. So we're hankering or aspiring to enter that land. The land of no return. Business, there's always returns. You have to file your returns also. You have to file your returns for your business, and you have to return and do business life after death after life after death after life after death. Samsara chakra, business chakra. In the pursuit of love, we only find distress. So this discussion here is all about this love divine. And this avatar, Gauranga, is the Prem avatar, and he came to initiate the Prem Yuga. And this Kali Yuga, he initiated the Prem Yuga for 10,000 years. He initiated what they call Prem Yuga, which is based on Prem Nam Sankirtan. Golo Kara Prema Dham Harinam Sankirtan. Golo Kara Prema Dham Harinam Sankirtan. Narottam's Bhajan. That he's brought this Golok, the Goloka Prema has been brought into this world by Mahaprabhu through the agency of Harinam. So by chanting Harinam, our consciousness becomes pure, and then we understand something of Radha Bhav by Gauranga's mercy, then we start to live on the plane of love and start dealing. And like I say, I tell my students there's three principles, is that we should respect everyone, serve everyone, love everyone, right? But you can't do that unless you have spiritual vision, unless you're seeing Krishna in their heart. Respect all, and serve all, and love all. This is some basic things. We were saying, who are I telling this to? Someone was telling me some problems about their family life, as usual. and I said, love means accommodation, not suffocation. You write that down in your little notebook there. You have to, you know, accommodation means room, right? They say, how many accommodations in this hotel, in the Park Royal? Oh, we have 400 accommodations. We have accommodation for 400. What about your marriage hall? Oh, our marriage hall can accommodate 2,000 standing and 3,000 sitting, or whatever. Or the other way around. Yeah, 3,000 standing, 2,000 sitting. So accommodation means, so love means accommodation, not suffocation. So they like that. That was it. But most relationships, people become suffocated. So I think we'll have a short kirtan, maybe for 5 minutes. And then, any questions?
What is the bhava of Gadadhar Pandit? He is Radharani himself.
Yeah, Gadadhar Pandit, he's Radharani, and his Krishna, his Gopinath is Chaitanya, or Gauranga. So it's Krishna. So he is worshipping the Krishna aspect of Gauranga.
Okay.
So, because when Krishna said, I'm going to come down, you know, and take your Kanti and your Bhav, and Radharani said, what about me? if you're going in a golden form, well, where will I be? Because you're taking my heart and my Bhav or my heart and my color, but I wherever you go, I have to go also. So if you're going as a male form and you're going to be with all your associates in the Sankirtan party, and so what about me? So then Radharani came as Gadadhar. So in Mayapur, they were inseparable, in Navadvipa and Mayapur Leela. And then when they went to Puri, they were inseparable. But then Chaitanya said, now, or Krishna was telling Krishna Chaitanya, he said, listen, now I'm in my Radhabhav. So Radha and Radha, it doesn't mix, it's like two North Poles. So now you stay here with Gopinath. I'm going to give you Tota Gopinath.
Yes.
So I'll give you Tota Gopinath and you stay with Gopinath. And then you'll be happy with Gopinath. And he said, hell, you're my Gopinath.
But he broke his vow.
So Gadadhar's Bhav is basically is Radha Bhav for Krishna. But now Krishna is relishing that Radha Bhav, so he would come every day and hear Bhagavatam. So they would meet regularly and see each other, but there was some distance, a little bit of distance. But Gadadhar is none other than Radharani in Braj Bhav. He's in Braj Bhav, Radharani in Braj Bhav. But Gauranga is in this Viraha Bhav, Radharani searching for Krishna. A Gadadhar is in the bhava being with Krishna, sambhog. Sambhog is union, enjoying together, and viraha is separation. So, this whole viraha bhava, you know, there's yuga yutam nameshena chakshusha pravishayutam shanya yutam yudhaktaram govinda virahename. Lord Chaitanya is praying in Shikshastakam, oh Krishna, Gopinath, 1 minute without you is like a millennium, like a yuga.